Hallelujah. Praise His wonderful name. God is good to each and every one of us. Amen. Good. Praise the Lord. I want to share from Ephesians today. Ephesians chapter 4. But before we turn to Ephesians chapter 4, I just want to say to you that Paul, when he's writing to the Ephesians, he writes this: Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints who are at Ephesus and who are faithful in Christ Jesus. Ephesians chapter 4, I'm going to continue in. One of the things I want to say to you is that the book of Ephesians is written to the believers. Amen. It's written to the saints in Ephesus. But not just Ephesus, it is written to the people of God. And it is written as an instruction and guidance to the people of God. So I want you to turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4. Are you okay there, Naru? Are you guys all switched on? Can they hear? Ask them if they can hear. Can you hear? Can I have a thumbs up if you can hear? Yeah? Wonderful. I just wanted to be sure. So we're in Ephesians, the book of Ephesians, chapter 4. Hallelujah. I'm going to take it slowly for Naru, just to help her. Try and keep it easy and simple. It starts there, it says, Paul says, therefore, a prisoner of the Lord, I encourage you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling which you have been called to. Amen. What is he saying there? I'm just going to expand this little verse for a moment. Each and every one of us has a calling from God. Did you hear that?
Yes.
Each and every one of us has a calling from God. Now we have to find our calling, and then we have to do our calling. Amen? So we have to find our calling, and we've to do our calling. The Word of God encourages to be actively doers of the Word. Amen? And so it's important that we, as believers, begin to be doers of the Word of God in people's lives. So I've entitled today, Living Unity in the Body. Live in unity of the body. And the body is the body of Christ Jesus. It's not the body of the Methodists.
No.
It's not the body of Baptists, Brethren, or Pentecostals. It is the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And each and every one of us, if we have asked the Lord Jesus into our hearts and into our lives, are part of the body, the Lord Jesus. Now, sometimes that word body is changed into the word church. But we're the body. We're the church of Jesus Christ. If you love the Lord Jesus, then you are part of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? And so if we're part of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, Paul says that each and every one of us have a calling.
Amen.
You have a calling. Amen? You have a calling. Hallelujah.
Amen.
It's great. You have a calling by God. God's calling you to do things for Him. Amen? You have a calling. You have a calling from God. He knows your name and He's calling you to be about Father's business. Amen? Praise God. Goes on to say in verse 2, be humble and gentle, be patient with each other, making allowance for each other's faults because of your love. Verse 3, always keep yourselves united in the Holy Spirit and bind yourselves together in peace. One great thing the Lord Jesus said to us, He said, a new commandment I give to you, that you love each other as Jesus has loved you. That we love each other just as the Lord Jesus has loved me and you. And so it is important that we realize that unity is about loving one another. Unity is not wearing a uniform and all being the same. Amen? Good. You doing okay at the back there? Okay, praise God. Just, if I'm going too fast, wave, all right? And I'll slow down. No problem. Remember, I'm used to going somewhere and having to speak in another for wait for somebody to translate. This is even easier, actually, for me anyway. But praise God. So, here we go. Right. Paul here is teaching about how our belief in Christ Jesus should affect our relationship with one another. If it wasn't for the Lord Jesus Christ, I wouldn't know you. You would not be my sister. But today, because of Jesus, you are my sister. Sister. Amen? And because of Jesus, He is my brother. Brother. We're blood brothers in Christ Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
We're brothers and sisters because of the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, sister here, she doesn't look anything like my family. But we're brother and sister in Jesus. Amen? Because the central part of our life, our bloodline, is the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Jesus Christ is what joins us together. Jesus is what joins us together. Joins. Amen. Hallelujah. And it is all because of Jesus. And that is what should affect our relationship. Not what your doctrine is. Sometimes the Methodists and the Pentecostals and the Baptists, all have a little bit of a difference. Well, forget that. It's Jesus. Jesus. The Word of God must be the thing that influences our life. It must be the Word of God that guides us. Not our feelings. Sometimes you can wake up on a morning and it can be raining and it can be grey and drizzling and you just, oh, do I have to go out today? You know, and your feelings will go down because of the weather. Yeah? Or you wake up and the sun's brightly shining and you think, wow, oh, I need to get out today and get in that sunshine. It's wonderful to be alive. It's wonderful to be alive at any time. Because Jesus is on the throne. And for each and every one of you, there is a calling on your life to do something for Jesus. Pruneel has got a calling on his life to do something for the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you believe that, Pruneel? Hallelujah. That's wonderful. We are to remember that we are part of a glorious body. A body that is the Lord Jesus Christ. And that everything that we say and do should be representative, should reflect the Lord Jesus. Our lives should bring glory to Him. Our lives should magnify Jesus. You see, it's not about you. None of us died on a cross. None of us have got nail prints in our hands. Only Jesus. The other day I had a meeting with a church, some church leaders who were offended at us. They were offended at us, well, because we'd led 3 people to the Lord in their church. They were offended at us because they thought we wanted to steal them, which we never did. And it has taken them nearly 12 months to come to a place where we will meet and talk about it. And I was determined in the end that we would meet and we would talk about it. And that we would deal with the issue, yeah, so that the fellowship, yeah, the communion together, yeah, can reconnect. Yeah. That we can join back in fellowship together. Because it is not Andrew's kingdom. It is not Grace's kingdom. It is not Manny's kingdom. It is the kingdom of God. Yeah. And the king is the Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. Jesus is the king. Yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah. And it's all about him. Yeah. It's not about you. It's not about me. He allows us to be involved in the work. But the work is all about Jesus. The finished work of the cross is all about Jesus. I can no longer point behind me now, can I, and say, you know, the cross, it's, they took it down last week. They took Jesus down from the cross 2,000 years ago. Yeah. 3 days later, he rose again. Hallelujah. And conquered sin, sickness, yeah, and disease. Amen. This is the Lord that we serve. Yeah. This is our King. Yeah. This is our God in whom we trust. This is our God who keeps his promise to us. Yes. Every day. and every moment of every day. You see, none of us have died for anybody. None of us have given everything for anybody. Only Jesus has given everything for everybody. So there should be no place for quarrelling. You see, the enemy wants to divide us. He wants to separate us. He wants to drive us apart. There's only one kingdom. There's only one King. Kingdom of God. The King is the Lord Jesus Christ. And the church needs to get back together. You know, because I was saying the other day that in this area of intake, if we were to get 1% of the population saved, the churches that are in intake could not contain the congregation. They couldn't keep them. They don't have enough room for them. And yet we're believing God said that He will pour out of His Spirit. We're believing that God will bring a double portion. We're believing that God will bring the former rain and the latter rain in these last days. That means our tents have got to expand. That means our place has got to grow. That means we may have to run some more meetings. That means we have to change things. So the Word of God is telling us, get ready. Get ready. Get ready. And God will not be interested in what your badge says. Whether it says Flintwood Methodist, Harvest Fields, United Reform, Nepalese, whatever it says, God will not even be interested in that. Because it's not about you, it's not about me, it is all about the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes. Hallelujah. You know, when Paul wrote this letter to the Ephesians were under the rule of the Roman Empire. They'd been under the rule of the Greeks. And it wasn't in their culture, really, to be friendly towards one another. It was always about having a high-handed attitude of life. I'm right and you're wrong. There was no apologizing. There was no lowliness. There was no meekness. You know, we talk about Jesus being the meek and the lowly and the humble King. And He came in humility. How humble did He come? He came as a little baby. In a few weeks' time, we will celebrate, as far as the world's concerned, what they call Christmas, the birth of the Son of God.
Amen.
We know it wasn't Christmas, but we'll do it as it is.
Yeah.
And then, you know, that birth of that small child, and Mary cradled Him in her arms. Here is the Son of God. Reliant upon a human being to feed Him, to keep Him warm, to keep Him clean, to care for Him. This is God. This is God. How humble do you need to get? This is the Son of God. And He allows mankind to look after His Son. Whoa. That's mind-blowing, that He is allowed to look after His Son. the humility that the Lord Jesus showed even when he was being accused. When they were about to crucify him, "Defend yourself," he said nothing. When he was on the cross and they nailed him, he never railed upon them, but he said, "Father, forgive them, because they don't know what they are doing." And so in this attitude of meekness and of humility, Jesus begins the birth of the church. In verse 4 of Ephesians chapter 4, it says, "There is one body, there is one spirit, and there is one hope of your calling." Hallelujah. And God has called you. There's one Lord, one Spirit, one calling. We're called, each and every one of us. Called, each and every one of us, into the presence of the King of Kings. We're called to have one Lord, one faith, one baptism. We're called to have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We're called to trust God and to be filled with the Spirit of God. It's like when I came in and Grace and I just chatted for a few moments with patience. And I just said that phrase, "If God said it, it's done." Then it hit me. If God has said something, if God has given a promise, then it is done. It is true. Wow. Yeah, don't get excited about that, you know, because some of you have got promises that God has given to you. Right? And some of you might still be waiting. But it's already done. You see, when Jesus was alive, the work of the cross was already done, because Jesus was set for that part to go through, that the victory of going through the power of the cross and coming out the other end and rising from the dead. It was already done. When Jesus died on the cross, he said one word. Well, two words. Three words. "It is finished." He said, "It is finished." What did he mean, "It is finished"? He meant that all the plans of God, right from the beginning of time, right through to the end of eternity, were now completed. 2,000 years ago, when Jesus said, "It is finished." The power of the devil is broken. And if the church would grab a hold of that and realize that the power of the devil is broken 2,000 years ago, when Jesus took the keys back of the kingdom of God, when Jesus took back all authority, being the second Adam, then we realize that right there and then, 2,000 years ago, it is finished. It is done. Everything is done in the cross. Everything is complete in the cross. Every addiction is broken in the cross. Every sin is cleansed in the cross. Every guilt is dealt with in the cross. Because he said there is now no more condemnation to you who have Christ Jesus in your hearts and lives. Amen. That's the meaning of it. If you have Jesus in your heart and your life and you love him, there should be no more condemnation.
Amen.
I am not condemned.
No.
I am forgiven.
Amen.
Amen. Thank God for that. I've not done anything to be able to work and receive my forgiveness. The only thing I did was I bowed my knee to the Lord Jesus Christ and made him Lord over me. And in bowing my knee to the Lord Jesus Christ and placed my hands in the hand of the Savior, in the hands of a God who loves me, he begins to lead me step by step, moment by moment, day by day. He leads me.
Yeah.
Psalm 23 says, he leads me beside still waters.
Amen.
There could be turmoil in your life.
Yeah.
But when the Prince of Peace comes into your life, he will begin to lead you into still waters.
Yeah.
He will lead you to a place of fruitfulness. He will lead you into a place of blessing.
Amen.
That's what Jesus and the work of the cross,
yeah,
he should be doing for us,
yeah,
in our lives today.
Amen.
Hallelujah. When we realize that Father God, the master and designer of all creation, one Lord, one God, he's the designer of all of creation. Jesus, the Word that spoke into action the mind of God, the Holy Spirit that breathed life and creative power was released, and as Father, Son and Holy Spirit moved over the 6 days of creation, God brought all things to life and he created you and me for his good pleasure. He created all these things also for you and I, that we might rule and reign. He created all these things that we might be the family,
amen,
of God.
Yes.
Amen?
Yes. Amen?
God wants us to be that family. And he created that, all this for us now.
Praise God.
I want us to look at verse 7 and 8 because this is important. Because right at the beginning, you are called to be ministers of God. God is giving gifts to us. God wants you to be involved in the church. He wants you to be part of it. Hallelujah. And verse 7 and 8 says this, But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, it says, when he ascended on high, he led captive a host of captives, and he gave gifts to men. He gave gifts to mankind. God, even when Jesus was crucified, was thinking about you and about what gift he can give to you. What gift he can give to you? And we come up to Christmas time, and already we're probably thinking about gifts that we can give to people. And sometimes we think, what can I give them? Oh, what am I going to do? You know, what do they need? And yet God, the beginning of time, was thinking about you 6,000 years later, and he'd already got gifts planned for you. Wow. The thing is, now we've got to begin to pick up these gifts. We've got to begin to open these gifts. We've got to find a gift with our name on it.
Amen.
And begin to open it. As we find the gifts of God that have been given to us. And they're special gifts. They're given to us that we might begin the work of God. That we might be involved in the work of God. See, these gifts are not hidden from us. They're right out there for you to get hold of. But so often our timidity, our fear, holds us back from taking what is rightly ours in Christ Jesus. So important that we do it. Verse 9 and 10 says that Jesus, he ascended. What does it mean? Except that he also descended into the lowest parts of the earth. He who descended is himself also he who ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fulfill all things. All the promises, all the gifts that God had planned for you over 6,000 years ago at the beginning of time, Jesus was beginning to fulfill those gifts, beginning to fulfill those promises to each and every one of us. Because Jesus came down and humbled himself on this earth that you and I might receive life. And receive life with an abundance. That you might receive sins forgiven. That God might make each and every one of us whole again.
Amen.
That God might restore each and every one of us to himself.
Yes.
That God might have a relationship with each and every one of us. That's why he came. To restore that which the devil had stolen from humanity. And he came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. He came to give us life. He came to fill us with life. Jesus is to rule the universe. And he says we shall rule and reign with him.
Yeah.
You see, the Lord Jesus gave gifts to the church.
Yeah.
If we read in verse 11, he says he gave some apostles, and some as prophets, and some as evangelists, and some as pastors and teachers. Why did he give those special gifts? The answer is in verse 12. The special gifts are there for the equipping of the saints for their work of service to the building up of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. God is calling each and every one of us to come under the teaching of the fivefold ministry of apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor and teacher. He's calling us to sit under that ministry so that as we sit in that ministry will begin to equip us. It's about being equipped. We go to school, and we go to school to learn. They equip us to be able to understand things. When you go to work and you took an apprenticeship on, they were beginning to teach you, to equip you, how to do things that would give you skills and abilities that will bring you success in life as you journey through life. And so in the same way, the special gifts that God has given to the church to equip the saints of God is that fivefold ministry. So that each and every one of in your gift would know how to use it and could use it in confidence and trusting and knowing that you are hearing God. And knowing that God is speaking to you. So I just want to encourage you today. Ask yourself the question. Who is the church? Who is the church? And I believe that I am the church. I am the church. So what I want you to do, and this might be the last thing we say today, is that I want you to say, I am the church. Starting. Now in Nepalese, I think it goes something like Maya Karahum. Something like that. Is that close? Maya Karahum? Who's laughing at me? What does it mean? Can you translate that for the, in Nepalese? I am the church. Huh? Again. You're the church.
Yeah.
You're the church.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
God has given you gifts.
Yeah.
God has given you gifts.
Yeah.
Begin to use them. Let the church be a powerful force that will change lives to the glory of Jesus. Amen?
Yeah.
Let it be powerful that it will change lives. We need to be moving in the Spirit. Amen?
Yeah.
We need to be moving in the Spirit of God. Great to hear you speaking in tongues and just worshipping and getting lost in God and preparing the way of the Spirit.
Amen.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
We need more
yeah.
of the Spirit of God to quicken us,
yeah.
to shape us,
yeah.
to press us forward
Amen.
In the things of the kingdom. Amen.
Amen.
I am the church. Again. Amen. I am the church. Hallelujah. Jesus lives here. The I am. I am Jesus lives here. Amen. Praise God. So today and tomorrow and the day after, begin to ask Jesus, show me my gift.
Amen.
Show me my gift. Show me my gift, Lord. And then when you know, begin to move towards it and begin to move in it. Amen. Father, let's pray in the name of Jesus. Father, I just pray, Lord, that each and every one of us will be quickened by your Holy Spirit.
Amen.
That each and every one of us, O God, would know the power of resurrection life. I pray, O God, that each and every one of us would know the gifts that you're giving to us, that we might use them for your praise and use them for your glory. We just ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah.